Now, technology does what it wants to do when it wants to do it, but it takes a moment. Once we get it to do what we need it to do, we can ride right along. Good to see everybody this morning, and certainly grateful and thankful to have this opportunity to be together. And we are certainly blessed and grateful that God has given us another day. I pray that we don't take that lightly. God has given us another day. And the truth be told, it's something that we don't deserve. It's all by his goodness, his grace, and his mercy that we are together. We greet you all here in the sanctuary. And of course, those of you who are joining us live, we greet you as well. Those who are watching the rebroadcast at 7 p.m., we thank God for you as well. The word of the Lord makes it clear, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in the blessing of the day. Listen, y'all, we got a powerful, 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 powerful lesson to take a look at as we continue in our study of the book of Numbers. I pray that you all have received your handouts. Amen. Whether it's lesson 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12, it is 10. Y'all have to be here to understand that. It is still Bible study. We say that we are grateful for the opportunity. We're going to continue looking at the book of Numbers as we continue in our study of moving from standards to service. And, of course, with a new chapter, there is a new handout, so we want to go ahead and put that screen up as well so that those who are joining us virtually, you can obtain a copy of the handout by scanning that QR code that you see. As you scan that QR code will tell you exactly where that handout is and how you can obtain it. As we are ready to walk through the word of God, let's take a moment to bow our heads in prayer. Let's seek God's guidance, God's direction as we walk through God's word together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now telling you thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for closing us in our right minds. Thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. God, we say thank you for good sense. Thank you for common sense. Thank you, God, that you have been better to us than we could have ever been to ourselves. Now, God, as we have gathered for this moment of study, understanding, gaining knowledge of your word, I ask as always that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may receive your word and apply your word to our daily lives. For these things and so much more, God, we simply say thank you. This is our prayer. We offer it now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. So, people of God, last week when we left off with the children of Israel in trouble. Amen. They were in trouble. They had messed up one more time. And they were facing punishment for their mess up. They tried to repent. Y'all remember we talked about that last week. They tried to repent, but their repentance was not real. It was from the lips. It was not from the heart. They repented only because they had gotten caught. Amen. That was the reason why they repented. Well, now maybe, you know, we go up to the hill. We'll go before God. Moses tried to tell them, you're wasting your time. You want to go because you know judgment is about to come upon you. Not just a brief period of judgment. I need us to see that. It was 40 years of judgment, 40 years of punishment. I'm going to get into the significance of that in today's lesson as to why God chose 40 years. All right? I touched on it a little bit last week in understanding that the number 40 is the number of testing. But also keep this in mind, and I'll share it more with you as we walk through it. Sometimes God has to put us through a test to get some stuff out of us too. Amen. Sometimes God has to put us through situations so he can clean some stuff out of us so that we can be meat for the master's use. So what we're going to see as we get ready to dive into Numbers chapter 15, as we dive into Numbers chapter 15, we're going to see that Israel is at one of their lowest points in history. Once again, they have rejected, they have rebelled against God. They refused God's promise because they operated in what they thought and what they saw instead of the promises of God. We're going to see that God sentences them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, y'all, let's do some quick math before we get through this. You've already just come through 432 years of slavery. Now, God has allowed you to be freed from slavery. And because you have rejected God's great promise over your life, now you've got to face another 40 years. At least they were able to eat, sleep, as they said, have a decent burial for 432 years. But now, because of their rebellion against God, God causes them to remember who he is. I'm going to make this live for us. Sometimes, beloved, God does the same thing to us. He does. He warns us. He tells us we need to do this, that, and the third. And then when we don't choose to do it, he has to allow us to face some consequences. Amen. You know, those of us who remember being raised by old school parents, you know, mom and daddy used to always say, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And we think that, you know, they say they're going to get us and then they don't get us at that time. We are quick to say, oh, well, they have forgotten about it. They don't remember what they said. And then they come back and say, oh, you remember I told you I was going to get you? Come here. And when they get you, they proceed to get you for what? Old? I got some witnesses in here this morning. We're going to see that as we look at chapter 15. Chapter 15, we're going to see that God is going to use Moses to remind the nation of Israel of some things that he said to them. Y'all ready for this? Going all the way back to our study of Leviticus. So what we're going to see is sometimes God finds it necessary to remind us of what he said. Why does he do that? God has to remind us because, simply put, sometimes we become forgetful. Our actions, our attitudes, our atmospheres reveal that we have become forgetful. So God has to remind us, in so many words, I said what I said, I meant what I meant, you're going to do what I said do. So for the next 2 weeks, at least this week and next week, the Lord shall say the same. We're going to take a look at Numbers chapter 15, and I've been led to entitle this lesson simply, Service Requires Reminders. Sometimes we need to be reminded, even in our walks with God, we need to be reminded of some things. Sometimes we go through situations, we need to be reminded. Sometimes we face situations, we need to be, that's all. And it doesn't take anything away from who you are. Doesn't take anything away from who God is. You just need to be reminded. Yes, sir. There you go. There you go. That they were hard-headed. Remember how they were described. Just come out of, first of all, you've just come out of 432 years of slavery. All right? In your pilgrimage to the Red Sea, You get to the Red Sea, you started complaining at the Red Sea. God made a way. They crossed across the Red Sea. They crossed the dry ground. Got on the other side. What happened? Here we go complaining again. So now they are in this wilderness place where basically God wants to test them to see, do you trust me to take care of you? After all, y'all, all they had was what Pharaoh gave them to get away from there. And they squandered that. How did they squander it? They took it and made themselves a god. How many times do we take God's blessings and misuse them? So now, 40 years. Y'all remember this now. 11-day journey. Because they were what? Walking in circles out of disobedience. So now God promises them the land. He tells them, this is the land that I swore that I would give to you. I swore to your forefathers, going all the way back to Abraham. Spies have been sent to the land to spy it out. That's where we left off last week. They were split by a vote of 10 to 2. 10 said we can't, 2 said we can. They got ready to stone the 2 that said we can. Can y'all begin to see? They were not only rebellious, but they were stubborn. Absolutely. Well, Butch said last week they were stupid. I mean, really, think about it. God has promised you everything. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to worry about how it's going to come. All you got to do is trust and obey God. Come on, y'all, please see where I'm about to go. Trust and obey God. If you trust and obey God, everything that God has promised, he's going to give it to you. You are not going to have to fight for anything. And you got caught up in your own weakness. And your own weakness leads you to reject the promise of God. The late Reverend Lee Ernest White said, if you can't say amen, say ouch, because it is tight, but it's right. Amen. Amen. And we can't even fault these nation of Israelites. We can't, because they are a lot like us. I told you they were our kin folks. I told y'all that. Because they did, we do the same thing. How often, y'all, and it's really not an indictment, but it is a reality. How often do we let our doubts stand in the way of our destinies? How often, even in our own lives, do we allow what we think to take priority over what God says in our lives? How many times have you tried to help God out? Okay. Come on now. How many times have we tried to help God out, and in the process of trying to help God out, we make it worse instead of better? Amen. Now, what I'm saying is going to get all of us as we walk through chapter 15, because in chapter 15, we're going to see why God is going to say to Moses, remind these folks of what I told them before we got started on the pilgrimage. Remind them, going all the way back to the book of Leviticus, when they stood at the foot of the mountain, Moses goes up in them. Now, they had already been in the wilderness wandering. All right? And so now God is speaking. God is telling them. Y'all remember that? I believe it's back in chapter 24 of the book of Leviticus, where he begins to speak to them. And they said at the foot of the mountain, after seeing all of that black smoke and all of that thunder, whatever God tells us to do, we're going to do it. And less than 7 days after they said it, they turned on. Come on now.
Come on. Is this becoming a repeated thing that we are seeing with the nation of Israel? Here's why, y'all. I got to remind you of who we're dealing with. We're dealing with folks who are still slaves mentally. And people of God, may I tell you, that's what sin does even in our lives. If sin can enslave us mentally with our thought process, it will have us thinking that we're defeated when we're already victorious. Amen. So for the time that is mine to share this morning, I want to look at the first 21 verses of Numbers chapter 15. I want to spend time there. But let's begin by just introducing this chapter. Of course, we've already done it. But let's take a moment to introduce the chapter. A few things I got to make sure that you see as we introduce and we prepare to walk through Numbers chapter 15. The first thing that I need to make sure that you see is that we see that this lesson is going to show us three things that take place after we sin. Three things. Three things take place after we sin. The first one, repentance. Repentance. Repentance is the ability, it is the means by which we come honestly with God, apologizing. Amen. We acknowledge that we mess up. And I think all of us will agree. We got to be able to acknowledge that every once in a while, we do not always dot every I. We do not always cross every T. Okay? I mean, let's be honest. And I think sometimes we need to heal ourselves there. Some healing needs to take place in understanding that when you mess up, the word of God says that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, watch the word, to not only forgive us of the sin, but then he comes back and he says, I'm going to cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. God does care about us. Amen. I want to say that one more time. God does care about us to the point that he does not allow us or let us wallow in our sins, in our failures, in our mess ups if we've got a desire to get up out of it. Key phrase, you got to have a desire to want to come out of it. You got to have a desire. If you don't have the desire, then guess what? You're only hurting yourself. Amen. Amen. If you want to be bitter, stay bitter. But watch this, y'all. Your bitterness doesn't affect anybody else. It only affects you. All right? Repentance. Second thing we're going to see after we sin is atonement. We spent a lot of time talking about atonement in the book of Leviticus, so let me quickly remind us of what atonement is. Atonement simply says that a price must be paid for the sin that we have committed in order to be restored. We're going to see in chapter 15 that Moses is going to remind them of the different offerings that are going to be required to be a payment to restore them after they sin. For those of us who are New Testament believers, aren't you glad that your atonement was already covered before you repented? Because according to Hebrews chapter 10, Christ is our atoning agent. How is that? When he hung, bled, and died on a cross for my sin, the word of God makes it clear, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no payment for our sin. But when we come before him and openly and confess and acknowledge that we have sinned, we've come short, we've messed up, we've failed, we've fallen, the word of God says he is faithful. Mm-hmm. He always keeps that promise to us if we come before him right. Does that make sense to us, beloveds? That when we approach him right, he meets us at the point of our need and then gives us another chance to make it right. Is it making sense? Making sense? Mm-hmm. Well, it did not come from the heart. Go back to last week's lesson. Last week's lesson is a prime example of what you just said. Think about it. They were ready to repent after God pronounced judgment. And Moses told them, you're wasting your time because it's coming from here. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let me make it live. Let me talk to us for a moment because, y'all, we can repent from here. Uh-huh. But didn't Romans 10 say something about the heart has to be involved with that? I can confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. But if I don't believe it with my heart, I'm still not saved. Hello? Think about it. Think about the punishment that we all face. Come on. Just had this conversation with somebody earlier this morning where we understand the reality of it is, there is a difference between an apology from the lips and an apology from the heart. Here's why. Can I prove it? An apology from the lips allows you to be subject to commit the same infraction again. But when there is an apology from the heart, there is something within the heart of mankind that even when you want to go there, something snatches you. Amen. Amen. Even when you want to give them a piece of your mind, something snatches you. Y'all know how we do it. We pray and ask the Lord, Lord, if you get me out of this, I won't do it no more. You know, if it's from the lips, what you gonna do? You gonna do it again. But when it comes from the heart, beloveds, there's something within you that allows you to realize that just before you step back to do it again, remember what you promised God. Remember what you said. Snaps you back into place. Now, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why, Lord Jesus, that's why it is so awesome that God gives us a comforter. Because y'all, sometimes in my weak moment, I mess up. I know I ain't by myself in here. Y'all got to forgive me. I'm trying to keep it together right here. Because sometimes in my own life, I always realize that I fall short somewhere. And if we were in the Old Testament time, we would be in trouble. Remember we talked about this when we looked at Leviticus? Atonement was only one day per year. Which simply means that if you messed up day one after the atonement, you were in Sorrow Valley. Come on now. So thank God for Jesus. So when I do mess up, even on this 28th day of January, if the day of atonement was January 1 and I messed up January 28th, I don't have to wait till next January. I can go before him right now. Glory to God. I can go before him right now. Repentance, atonement. Here's the third one, because y'all about to mess me up. Repentance, atonement, and then thirdly, restoration. Once you acknowledge that you've messed up, the price has been paid, there is an opportunity for you to be restored. Now, one of the things that I've noticed about restoration, watch this, y'all. If you've ever watched somebody, there's a show, I can't think of the name of it right now, where they used to take the old classic cars and restore them back to the original condition. And they would go through and they would pull everything out of that joker. The seats, the engine, from front to back, they would pull it all out. They would do one of two things. Those things that were usable, they cleaned them up so they could continue to be used. But then there were some pieces that were so old and rust was all messed up in it that they could not use it anymore. They had to come with new parts. Watch this. But did you not notice that when restoration was completed, that car ran good, it looked good, it looked spectacular. That's what happens when God restores our lives. Those areas of our lives that he can still continue to use, he cleans them up. Okay? But those areas of our lives that are broken and need to be replaced, he throws them away. John chapter 15 is where I find that, where Jesus describes himself as the vine keeper. And he says that those areas of our lives that are no longer bearing fruit, he cuts them off. Those areas that are bearing fruit, he trims them back so that they can bear more fruit. Have you ever thought about some of the processes and some of the situations you've been through in life and wondered why you had to go through it? You had to go through it so he could restore you. And we're going to see that even with the nation of Israel as we walk through chapter 15. Second thing I need to make sure that you see in the introduction, this chapter is a repeat, I've already said this, of the laws that were given in the book of Leviticus. So a lot, particularly in the first half of chapter 15, is going to be a review because we've already walked through it. But we're going to spend time there to make sure that we remember what God said to them with those particular offerings. We're going to see it as we look at those, the first half of this particular chapter. And then third and finally, how does chapter 15 apply to us? In this lesson, we're going to see, first of all, God shows mercy after we sin. Now, if somebody was looking for an amen moment, there it was right there. God shows mercy after we have sinned. Second thing, we will see the need to be reminded of God's standards of service. Sometimes, y'all, let's be honest, do we all want to admit that sometimes we get comfortable? We get comfortable. And when we get comfortable, watch this, we become conformable. I know that sounds like a lot, but here's what happens. We become so comfortable that we start to settle in things that God has already freed us from. I'm going to say it one more time now. We'll say it one more time. We become so comfortable that we become conformable. God blesses us. Let me back up a little bit. 2020, we got hit with COVID. Amen. 5 years later, some folks still have not come back to church. Especially when it comes to Sunday. Think about it, y'all. You know, we can go everywhere else. We can do everything else. Hello? But when it comes to Sunday, I'm too sick. I'm too tired. Oh, no. No, no, that's that slave mentality. I mean, think about it. I need a little more time. You don't need no time to wait to go to Walmart. Hello? Does it make it? I mean, if we're honest about it, we will become so comfortable, we become conformable. And does not the word of God tell us that we should not conform to the world, but we should be transformed by the renewing, by the changing of our minds? Amen? Third thing I need to make sure that we hold on to. Y'all hold on to this one. Please make it a part of your everyday life and living, what I'm about to say. Third thing I need you to catch in this chapter: God always leads, but he never leaves. Can y'all imagine what would have happened to the nation of Israel if God had stayed silent? Can you imagine where we would be if God were to get silent on us? Hello? And he's already said, the day is going to come, you're going to look for me, you're not going to find me. The day's going to come, you're going to call me, and I will not answer. You know, that feeling that God has ignored us. Something to think about. Yes, sir, Dave. And y'all think about what he's saying. Think about it. Wow. Wow. You know, they. Think about this, y'all. Think about this. And we're going to dive into it. I'm about to show it to you. How many times in our own lives have we said, if I had only listened, or if I had only done, or if I had thought about this before? And we constantly beat ourselves up over things that God has shown us mercy over. Think about it, y'all. I mean, it's a loaded question, but it's a real question. Where would we be if it was not for the mercy of God? We would be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. We would find ourselves doing what? Just like Deke was saying, I wish I had only listened. Come on now. What we're going to see here, and it applies even in our lives, that even when we mess up, you cannot beat yourself up for your mess up. I know people who will allow the guilt of their failures to get the best of them. And I'm going to say this, sometimes you even got to be careful about who you share it with, because some of them will use it to punish you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Thank God for mercy that covers us, y'all, when we have those, what I call shoulda, coulda,
woulda moments. I should have done. I could have done. I would have done. Hello? Now, what I'm saying, again, applies to all of us. Let's dive in. Let's dive in. Let's dive in. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to break this first 21 verses down because there's a lot here, but I want to just sort of review it. Let's take a look at the first five verses real quick. Numbers chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Let's take a look at it first. All right? English Standard Version says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children, to the people of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving you, and you offer to the Lord from the herd or from the flock a food offering or a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering, or at your appointed feast to make a pleasing aroma to the Lord, then he who brings his offering shall offer to the Lord a grain offering of a tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil. And you shall offer with the burnt offering or for the sacrifice a quarter of the hin of wine for the drink offering for each lamb." I'm going to stop right there at verse 5. Let me stop right there at verse 5. First thing I need you to notice, God is still talking. Y'all see that? God is still talking. What did God say to him? The first thing he says to Moses is tell them, when you come to the land you are to inhabit. Notice here now, they have rejected the promise. They have fought against it. They have said that we can't inhabit it. But now God is still saying to them, you're going to get there. Y'all see it? Look at it a little bit further. He says, when you get to the land that you are to inhabit, which I am what? Come on now, once again, there's no fight, there's no struggle. God cared enough for Israel to still keep his promise after their rebellion. God cared enough for Israel to care about them enough to basically say, you are going to inhabit the land. I am giving you the land. In other words, even though they had sinned and turned on God, God did not give up on Israel. Now, somebody was missing another place to shout. There it is right there. Even when we sin and come short of God's glory, God never gives up on us. Amen. I deserve punishment. I said, I deserve it. But he does not give it to me. Amen. See, we think that correction means we've been eliminated. We've been exempt. That's what we would do. You know, you mess up with me once, shame on you. You mess up with me twice, shame on me. Come on now, that's what we say. Aren't you glad God doesn't do like we do? I mean, really, God would have had every right. Remember, we talked about this in chapter 14, where God was saying, how much longer am I going to have to deal with these hard-headed folk? How much longer am I going to put up with their stubbornness and their rebellion? I'm just going to wipe them out. I'm just going to wipe them out. I'm done with it. Moses said, now, God, if you do that, your name is on the line. The people in Egypt are going to say you destroyed them because you knew you couldn't allow them to get into. Come on now.
See, that's why you got to be careful. Can I tell it like I feel it? I may not finish these first 20 verses, but let me go on and tell it. Let me go on and tell it. Sometimes you got to be careful of who you tell what you tell. You got to be careful of who you share your secrets with. Come on now. Because sometimes there are some folks there that are pushing you. But then there are some folks that are waiting for a moment. Amen. God says to them, look, when you get there, I promised it to you. My promise has not changed. I need you, when you get there, to make an offering by fire to the Lord. Make a burnt offering. Make a sacrifice. All right? God's mercy to Israel is seen in his instructions for these offerings. There are, in verses 1 through 5, there are three offerings mentioned. There are three. The first one is the grain offering. The second is the drink offering. The third is the wave offering. The wave offering actually comes a little bit later. But look at what he's basically telling them. All right? They think that bringing grain, wine, and burnt offering was to express thanksgiving, when actually what it was to show gratitude for how God kept them even when they messed up. Come on now. After all, y'all, watch this. Grain or flour was a food of luxury. Grain or flour, according to 1 Kings chapter 4, was given to royalty. It was set apart for leadership. But here, God is telling them, I need you, look at verse 3, to offer it to me as a free will offering and or at your appointed feast, here's the piece, to make a pleasing aroma to God. In other words, this is an offering of worship. It's an offering of gratitude. Let me break it down. Why do we worship? We worship to reverence and give respect to the God who creates us, the God who saves us, the God who sustains us. So in our moment of worship, we should be bringing God the very best that we have. Did we not talk about this Sunday? Yeah, just Sunday. Honor God with thy substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase. In other words, whatever you give to God, make sure it's your very best. Give God what's right before you give him what's left. Amen. Amen. 1/10 of an ephah, 2 quarts. 1/4 of a hin is 1 quart. In other words, God once again is being very specific with his instructions. And he has a purpose behind the giving. Basically, when you give this offering, give it in remembrance and in thanksgiving and in gratitude of everything that I have done for you, everything I allowed you to witness and obtain. Think about it, y'all. Let me make it live. This is going to sound comical. They didn't deserve it in the first place. Why didn't they deserve it, Pastor? They rejected it. Come on now. How many times has God given us something that we rejected? Amen. I just can't see how I'm going to do. And God has never asked you to figure out how you were going to do it. All he wants you to do is trust him through the process. Won't he do it? Willie won't he? Won't he, Willie? You know, oftentimes, sometimes, y'all, we got to learn how to be smart enough to trust him instead of smart enough to figure it out. It is not for me to figure out. I walk by faith, not by, come on, Deacon Marvin Johnson, not by what I see. You see? Come on now. How many times do we see that God is trying to set something up for us, but we can't see how we gonna get there? Hello? God is setting us up to go to Raleigh, and we trying to figure out how we gonna get there because 64 looks like it's closed. When God is not asking you to figure out how you gonna get there, just trust me to get you there. Absolutely. 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 Here it is. And Sister Trimley is right on it. Sometimes we act like we are smarter than God. All he asked us to do, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not unto our own understanding, but in every way. No.
My bad.
There's a song that came out a few years ago that just simply said, leave it alone, leave it alone, leave it alone, leave it alone. God can handle it better than you can. Leave it alone. Sometimes we just need to sing that to ourselves. Leave it alone, y'all. Leave it alone. Sometimes, y'all, we make more messes. We make more messes trying to figure out God's miracle when all he asked us to do is trust him. I got one hand in front of you, Brother Tremblay. I got one hand in front of you. Go ahead, Sister Coleman. Okay. You got it. Absolutely. 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 Look, how many times have we seen that in Scripture? How many times have we seen that in Scripture now, y'all? Where God basically says, okay, you got it. You got it. You know, you know more than I do. And you make a mess, and guess where we end up? Father God. Father God. Amen. Tight, but it's right, y'all. It's right. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further. Look at verse 6 and 7. Look at verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7 says this: or for a ram, you shall offer for a grain offering 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/3 of a hin of oil. And for the drink offering, you shall offer 1/3 of a hin of wine, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. When you offer it, when Israel came into the promised land, hold on to that. All of this is to take place when they arrive at the land of promise. They were to give a grain offering, a grain offering. They were required to give it, and it was to be made of flour, oil, and wine. That was a means of sacrifice. So now, not only must I offer God gratitude, but I also must be willing to offer a sacrifice in remembrance of what he has sacrificed for me. Is it starting to come together? And he said in verse 7 that this sacrifice should be a sweet aroma to God. In other words, y'all, look at it. What does our worship, our sacrifice, our gratitude smell like? Now, we talked about this in the book of Leviticus, because if it had a pleasing aroma, come on, y'all, think about it. Somebody cooking out on the grill, and they know what they're doing, that aroma hits the air. Come on now. It gets your attention. But watch this. If it's burning, you're going to know that too. Absolutely. So when it comes to our worship, our gratitude, our thanksgiving to God, after God has fulfilled his promise in our lives, what does it smell like? Is it a sweet aroma that draws folks? Come on now. Let me make it live. There's a reason why perfume and cologne may smell one way in the bottle, but another way when it hits your skin. You know why? The scents of the cologne or the perfume combine with your pH balance. And if your pH balance is off, what you smell in the bottle will not smell the same. Come on now. When God's power, God's fragrance, God's aroma, God's spirit connects with yours, what does it smell like? Amen. Don't look at me funny. I'm just making it live. Because that's basically all that God is telling Moses to tell the people. When you get to the place that I promised you, I need you to remember what I had to go through with y'all to get you here. Sometimes, y'all, we need to remember what we had to go through to get to where we are. Amen. Amen. February is here. February is just around the corner. Sometimes we need to remember what we had to go through. At this particular point, the spies had already been come back with the report. Well, see, the thing was, if you remember, this is why they rejected it. You know, the 10 came back with the wrong report. Because in so many words, if I could make it live, they went with the wrong attitude in the first place. See, what good is it, y'all, if I, help me, Holy Spirit, what good is it for me to fill my car up with gas, give you the keys to my car, tell you to drive to Raleigh. When you get to Raleigh, somebody's going to be waiting for you there, and they're going to bless you. You don't have to worry about a thing. I've given you my car. I've given you my gas. I've given you the instructions and told you what's waiting for you when you get there. But from the time you get into my car with my gas, with the instructions, knowing something is waiting, you are constantly complaining, crying, moaning, groaning. What's waiting for me? Why I got to go to Raleigh? Why couldn't they bring it to Nashville? Come on, y'all. Come on. It's to the point that by the time you got there, your spirit is messed up. Your attitude is messed up. Here, this is what we're dealing with right here. Right here, God gave them the vehicle. God gave them the instructions. God gave them the fuel and had already told them that when you get there, it's yours. What happened, y'all? They got there and saw everything they saw and started complaining. Now, again, y'all, I got 4 minutes, but I'm going to tell you in these 4 minutes, we do the exact same thing. To the point that sometimes God has to remind us, look, all you had to do was do it like I said do it. Can I tell y'all, watch this, Butch, and you just said it. You just said it. Oftentimes, we enslave ourselves trying to be smarter than everybody, including God. How you, look, y'all, look. What kind of fool would I be to try to rewrite the Bible? Now, that's stupid. When all I got to do is follow the instructions that he gives me and walk them out even when they don't make sense to me. Amen. That's all. And every once in a while when I get bigger than what I need to be, God has to snatch me back. Now, the other thing I got to tell you here is keep in mind, once again, the majority of the folks that rebelled against God at this point are now dead. Now dead at this point. That was the whole purpose, I can tell you now, of this 40 years. Because God had to weed out. He had to weed them out. We talked about that last week. That he had to deal with those 10 spies. And not only the 10 spies, God said, everybody that followed what those 10 spies said, I'm going to deal with them too. That's why you got to be careful, y'all. You got to be careful. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to have to run out of here in what I'm about to say. That's why you got to be careful who you listen to. You got to be careful who you follow. Amen. There is a way that seemeth right. Hello? That's why you got to be careful. You got to be careful. I don't like this. I don't think that should be. Well, when did Jesus get off the throne? What a lesson for the church. What a lesson for the church. God has to remind us sometimes. Number one, he has to remind us that whatever he promised, he's going to do it. I'll tell you all this in closing, personal moment of reflection. As I was preparing this message, God had to remind me, this sanctuary is a reminder to me. Amen. Because when we started this project, immediately my thought process was, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, they're not going to do. I'm going to have to beg, I'm going to have to beg, I'm going to have to beg. And God kept saying to me, trust me. Carpet went down. Amen. Carpet went down, and then we were sitting with pink pews with blue carpet. Lord have mercy. The more negativity I heard, you know what happened? The more it started affecting my spirit. God, we've done this much. You're going to have to come through. God kept telling me, trust me. Pews got covered. Come on. Well, think about it. Mm-hmm. God said, every last one of these pews got moved. Absolutely. God said, trust me. Yeah, that booger right there, that 22-footer, we trying to figure out how we going to get it out of there, how we going to move it, where we going to put it. And then how we gonna put it back? It took about 8 or 9 brothers, but we got it up over that ledge, got it over there. When they got ready to move the carpet and put the carpet down, we had to move the pews from over there over here. You know, we got all of that done. Put the pews back. Here we go again. You know, why they not curved? You need to get somebody, and I'll never forget that. That thing tore my spirit up for a moment. You need to get somebody in here who know what they doing. I can imagine what Moses felt like. What Moses felt like, you know. And then we talked about it. Y'all follow me? And we made a decision. Leave them alone. Ain't heard not one complaint. Not one. But I got to tell y'all, this is where it gets funny. Because one person who fought this whole project, the very first Sunday we came back in it, I heard, oh, this is beautiful. I wanted to say so bad, but you fought it. And God comes along and tells you, shut your mouth. Y'all ever been there where God gives you a shut up spirit? You want to say some stuff. You want to respond some kind of way. You want to give folk a piece of your mind, and God just comes along and tells you, shut up. He'll do it. So what are we saying here? The same thing. Moses is now speaking to the people and saying to the people, God said, when you get to where I promised you. I need somebody to catch that. Catch that. Please catch that as I get ready to leave you. Everything God has promised, nobody can stop what God's promised. Nobody can stop what God promised you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all of the promises of God are yes and amen. Come on now. Children just sung it a few weeks ago. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Y'all, I got to stop. My time is up. See, the screens don't went to blinking. My time is up. Any questions? Didn't get as far as I wanted to go today, but that's all right. That's the thing about Bible study. You can pick up where you left off the last time. So we'll pick it up next week. We'll pick it up at verse 8, I believe, and we'll keep walking through it, through the Word of God together. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. Right.
When we go somewhere, we always ask for travel, we always ask for traveling and mercy.
Right.
I did not do that over him, knowing his mental capacity. He gave me the address. Now,
watch this, Pastor.
I put it in the GPS. GPS going to get me there. Okay? It's going to get me there.
Follow it. It got me to the street.
Okay.
Told me to turn left. It wasn't it.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't it.
This the name of the street. I'm shaking now. It's the name of the street.
okay. We go across the track. Didn't see it. It ain't there. So I went around trying to find it.
Right.
Find the street. Can't find it. Right? So we went riding around, riding around. Like the Jews.
Wow.
Like the Jews.
Wow.
Right? Around. Trying to look for EMS place. That's what the place we was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
All right? EMS place. I must have rode around that EMS place 3 times.
Wow.
Before I realized, I called Brother Quan.
Uh-huh.
Because you know.
Right. Right.
And when I got the answer and went there, I said, we went around here 3 times and there it was. Because mm-hmm. I didn't pray and ask for guidance.
That's it.
I didn't pray and ask for guidance. And it wasn't west, it was east.
It pays.
Take it from me.
To seek God.
Take it from me. Pray.
Yeah.
Pray all the time. Whenever, pray all the time. All right? Just pray when you need it. Lean not to your own understanding. And the Holy Spirit will guide your way.
Every time. Every time. Every time.
Hey, when he said that, 40 years? Yeah, it wasn't 40, but it was 3 times. I've seen it 3 times.
It felt like 40 years, didn't it?
Yes.
It pays, really, it pays to obey God. It pays to obey God. You know, when you seek his guidance, seek his direction. Here's the thing. Watch this, Brother Trembley. Watch this. The place that you were going to was always there. It was always there. It never moved. You drove around it 3 times, but it never moved. That's the way God's promises are. God's promises are always there. If God said you can have it, guess what? It's yours. But what we got to stop doing is trying to take over, speed up the process. Hello, somebody. You know, speed up the process. Because in our little minds, God is taking too long. Come on. Part of the reason why the nation of Israel is so divided even now is because Sarah called herself trying to help God out. And now two brothers' children are fighting each other. They are still fighting. Isaac and Ishmael's people are still fighting one another. When all she had to do was trust God's promise. It sure did. And then after the promise came, you want to send the problem away. You created the problem. But now you want to get rid of it. Y'all, God don't work like that. God don't work like that. We got to learn how to trust him, y'all. We got to learn how to trust him. Take him at his word. If you trust and never doubt, won't he surely bring you out? Amen. I'm done, y'all. I'm done. Thank God for this word. Thank God for this lesson today. And I thank God that he's allowed us to see ourselves. I can speak for myself, to see myself in this lesson. Whatever he promised, he's going to do it. And I don't know, I'm speaking to somebody right now. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm speaking to somebody right now. Whatever he promised, he's going to do it. He don't need your help. He don't need your assistance. All he needs you to do is stand still. And if you stand still, you will see the salvation of the Almighty God. Whatever God promised you, hold on to the promise. Amen. Hold on to the promise. Because I can tell you, the promise may be 20 years old, but the promise is still good. Amen. 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 In the way of announcements, y'all done got me stirred up. In the way of announcements. Don't forget tomorrow, 12 noon, time of prayer via the telephone conference line. Connect with us from 12 to 1 tomorrow. For those of you who are joining us via live stream, please don't forget there will be no in-person class tonight. Pray for pastors in revival this week in Raleigh. We begin tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. So pray our strength in Jesus this week. IVs, there will be no choir rehearsal tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Also, Thursday, New Testament Bible study. Elder Kwan will be teaching New Testament Bible study for us this week. And so we pray that you will connect with us there. All married couples, don't forget our time of fellowship on this coming Friday, 6:30. As we shared, please bring a covered dish. I'm going to tell this is comical, but it's true. Someone asked me yesterday, you think you ought to have them tell what they bring in? I said, it's too late. I just sent out the text message. They replied, well, if we all got chicken, we're going to be some chicken-eating people. That's right. That's all right. We won't leave here hungry, that's for sure. We want to make sure that we are ready for next Friday. Looking forward to a fun time of fellowship next Friday night. Married couples, please be in attendance this Friday. If you have not covered your donation for next Friday, we ask if you would please bring that with you Friday night so that we can make sure we got everything lined up and ready for a fun time on next week. Let's continue to pray one for another. Pray for all of our sick, all of our shut in, that the Lord would just continue to keep them in his keeping care. Let's continue to pray for those families whose hearts are saddened in bereavement. There's a lot of death around us. So certainly, beloveds, let's keep them in our thoughts and in our prayers as well. Don't forget, Sunday kicks off Black History Month. This coming Sunday is Heritage Sunday. We're going to remember those seven people that made the step from Mount Zion to develop and to give birth to the St. James Church. We're going to remember them, and then we're going to celebrate and honor those 10 previous pastors that have served St. James for the last 140 years. We want to remember them as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's get ready to close and be dismissed. Father, in Jesus' name, we say thank you for this time. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. God, thank you for your spirit, your presence, your anointing that is in this room. We say thank you for the word. We say thank you for the reminder to trust you. Thank you, Lord, that we can leave today knowing the promise is still good. Whatever you promised us, you will do it. Keep us, God, as we move forward. Bless us throughout the rest of this day and the rest of this week. Let everything we do, say, and think be found pleasing in your sight and to the glory of your name. This is our prayer. We offer it now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Beloveds, have a wonderful afternoon. Have a great rest of the week. And know, of course, we love you all. Blessings upon you.